Nourish your inner power with alcohol-free organic sparkling teas and botanicals made with ethically sourced, regeneratively grown ingredients. That's right, drinksarilla.com. That's drink SARILLA.com. And you can check out their variety of flavors from sparkling organic green hibiscus tea to sparkling organic white ginger tea. They have sparkling organic apple black tea, sparkling organic lemon black tea, Tulsi lime sparkling botanical, and rooibos vanilla sparkling botanical as well. That's six different flavors to serve. Or you can check them out online and get the Cirilla Starter Pack sampler gift. DrinkCirilla.com. Try it today.
Welcome to the Bullish Picks Podcast. All information herein is for information purposes only. Nothing heard on this podcast is considered financial advice. Bullish Picks cannot and does not assess, verify, or guarantee the adequacy, accuracy, or completeness of any information heard on this show. The hearer bears responsibility for her or his own investment research and decisions. Great day, family. You are tapped into the Bullish Picks Podcast with your main man, 100 Grand, Ken Blanks Harrell, right here. Streaming on your favorite podcast and platform, where we give you everything you need from Main Street to Wall Street so that you can navigate these choppy waters. You've got stock market questions. I've got stock market answers. Tap in. Catch me on IG at Ask Blank. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are back for more of the Bullish Picks Podcast with your main man, 100 Grand, Ken Blanks Harrell, and our special guest, Miss Kayla G. We've been getting it in, learning more about this dynamic, amazing woman who has her hands in so many things. We talked about corporate America, womanhood, motherhood, investing, entrepreneurship, financial literacy hacks, and so much more. I'm just curious, Kayla, how do you find balance and all the things that you have your hands in? Like, you like the octopus lady. You got like six arms and two legs.
That's a great question. That's a great question. I always say that the way to find balance and the way I find balance is within my boundaries. So I know I've talked with you before about like my boundaries and how, you know, how strong they are. Like, and it wasn't always like this. And a lot of people don't know maybe what boundaries are, what that means. And some people may hear it all the time and they're sick of hearing it. But for me, it wasn't until 2018, 2019, right before COVID, where I got really, really sick. Like my health took a turn and I was like, what is going on? And, you know, doctors didn't know what was going on. Nobody could figure it out. All of my blood work and everything else was coming back okay. But I was still like, I was in so much pain and that sort of thing. So I started doing more like looking in with myself, because within my family, I used to be the one that everyone went to. Like I worked from home a long time, right, over 15 years. So they just thought that I was the one for everything. And I let them think that I was an enabler. I was like, hey, I can do it all. You know, I was being superwoman. And then when my health took a turn, I was like, I can't do this and I'm not going to do this. So when I was in the hospital, I was like, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. And I had to make that decision to find a way to make me more of a priority so that I could do what makes me happy. Because now I can say that everything that I'm juggling, my chickens, my dogs, my plant, you know, me looking at investments and looking at buying a farm and, you know, all these other things are things I truly want to do and things that bring me peace. And it wasn't until then, because that I was able to see my boundaries where I wanted to go and have peace mentally. And that's also what opened up my trading, you know, my trading mindset, my trading psyche. It helped me be more calm when I am trading, because a lot of people trade with their emotions. So, you know, just doing that piece of putting those boundaries in place allowed me to, you know, really propel myself into being able to juggle, you know, all of these things, for lack of a better word. But now it's not juggling while I'm stressed. It's only doing things I want to do. And also I'm able to be there more for my kids and communities and help more and give back more. So that's how I find the balance, is, you know, within those boundaries, you know, allowing people to see what I can and cannot do, what I will and will not do, and what I will and will not put up with. those sort of things and just making sure they're putting me first. So that's how I find it.
I love it. I love it. Setting boundaries.
Yes.
Setting boundaries is very key to protect your time, protect your space, your energy. Carving out blocks of time on your calendar that just are unavailable. I'm going to tell you one thing I've done in past times, whether I was working on projects or working with a client, things like that. I literally put like dummy appointments on my calendar and mark them as busy just so that I'm not constantly working. So I'm not constantly in meetings and constantly taking calls or constantly game to go somewhere, because I think it's about the availability. I was too available. I was too available that I was driving myself crazy because I was like with whatever all the time, every day. I start realizing I'm stressing myself out. I can't be part of everything, every venture, every deal, opportunity, whatever it is. And let alone the ones I think of or come across, but I was in everybody else. People come to me. You know, my at tag is ask to blanks. I made that a long time ago because I was sick of people asking me, hey, Blanks, what you think about this? Blanks, what you think about that? Hey, Blanks, can I borrow X amount of dollars? Hey, Blanks, can you invest in it? Like, I was like, oh, my goodness. I was going to put up a website and call it askblanks.com. It was going to just meet me with like my middle finger up. Like, don't ask me nothing.
I think that's something that people have to realize, like exactly what you did. If that's something that they need to do, blocking off blocks of time. I mean, whenever you first set boundaries, I know whenever I first set boundaries, I was, you know, it was challenging for me. But one of the things I had to start doing was something little, like telling the kids, you have to knock before you open my door. And like those sort of things, because my kids, I was all, just like you said, making yourself available. I was always available to my kids. My children, they've been blessed today and they've never had to go to daycare. They've only, you know, went to school, and then I also homeschooled them. So they've always
They are very blessed.
Yes, they've always had me. I've always, you know, I've worked from home. Even my oldest, whenever I had her, and I, even though I had her at a young age, I was an executive assistant for a gentleman who owned a couple of stores. So when I had her, I took her to work with me. So my kids have always had me. Like there was never, you know, anything. And so that also was something that, you know, I think a lot of women, especially moms, don't realize the emotional and the mental burden that just being a mother can have, that we don't even know that we're having yet until we blow up and it's over. So setting those boundaries had to start with me and my kids first, and stop being so accessible to everybody all the time, just like you said. So that's a great point. I'm glad you said that.
Yes, ma'am. Say about that open door policy. We're making an adjustment. It's now a closed door policy.
Right. And you have to knock and wait.
That's right.
It had to go. We had to take steps. So I had to close the door, and then they would just open the door. I'm like, no, no, close the door. And then you have to knock. And then they would knock and open the door. So it was steps, just like kids. Like they don't, you know, their kids, they're not going to learn the first time.
Right.
You know, now it's, they have to knock and wait for me to come in, or wait for me to say they can come in, and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
That's real. Protect your time, protect your space. Now, earlier in the conversation about that, this whole thing as far as how you block time and do things, you made a mention of a phrase that I wrote down here on my notes, and that was emotional trading. You may mention to, you know, because maybe you can get distracted with too many people on your calendar and your face, and you can't make the right play because you can't really focus. If you got kids running around, just always constant stuff going on. You mentioned that you don't want to do emotional trading. And I thought about something you said before on the Pre-Market Movers Morning Show, that you journal. And when you have a day where you either did good, right, or either, you know, did bad on a trade, you jot down things, you journal, but you may mention before that you take a close look at what emotional state you were in. And I'm just curious, like, you know, what is journaling exactly, and why do you encourage that for new investors on Wall Street?
Yes. So I love encouraging journaling because it for me, whenever it ties into like the emotional piece of it, just if I'm stressed, even from like work, because, you know, I do work full time. So I have this full time job, and I'm stressed about work, then I try to go and trade. Maybe, you know, work is, you know, stressing me out. I'm like, I need a vacation, right? And I'm like, let me go trade to make some vacation money. Then I would lose money. So I was like, let me figure this out. And I do know that I'm also a very emotional person. Like, I am in tune with emotion and feelings and energy and surroundings, probably more than I would like to be, but I'm learning to embrace it as I'm seeing that it's a gift. So it's like, because of that, that's whenever I also had to set those boundaries and really see what is happening with me whenever I'm entering and exiting trades. So, you know, whenever you're trading, whenever you're journaling your trades and those sort of things, you may not know what to put in the journal, but this comes with learning yourself and learning yourself as a trader. Because whenever you start doing your journaling, then you're looking at, oh, what happens whenever I trade and I'm upset? What happens whenever I also get back in and revenge trade, right? Because there's a couple of different ones whenever you're emotional trading, and those could be either fear, like, oh my gosh, this is the only money I have. I need to make this work. I need to turn this $100 into $1,000, right? So you don't get out on time, or you get in too early, or you don't follow your rules. That's also what I encourage in journaling. So that is putting down your rules, because then if you're like scared or you don't know, or you're back against the wall or any of those type of things, you know, especially as a beginner trader, then you might lose money. You're going to lose money because you're scared of losing money and you haven't even lost that money yet, right? So that's another reason that I put that in my journal as far as like emotions and that sort of thing, just from things that I learned along the way. Also, when we're going through our everyday lives, right? Everything we're doing, whether it's working, kids, you know, parents, whatever the case may be, we have so much happening. So not only do I encourage journaling as far as trading journaling, but journaling as far as like emotional journal, like personal journal. So that way you can leave them separate if you want to, but you can also intermingle. But I do think it's great to have two separate journals so you can see your journey throughout each, right? And because we have all of those things going on in our lives every single day, we need to make sure that we have different systems and processes in place so that whenever we are going to do what we want to do, as far as, let's say, getting into a trade, hey, we need to get into this Ford trade and it's going to be, you know, taking it to $12 or whatever the case may be. As long as you are writing it down, I really think that that helps people a lot. It's whenever you write things down. So you put that in your journal, you say, hey, I think that it's going to do this. And then if the next day it doesn't happen, then you shouldn't be getting in because you're like, whoa, you know, according to this journal and these numbers and this data that I learned that I need to process in order to be a successful trader, according to this, I shouldn't get in this trade yet. I also like that it helps you identify, like, I know with me, at least, it helped me identify different patterns, right? I was like, whoa, every time I trade in the early mornings, I'm relaxed, I'm more calm, I have winning trades. But then whenever I go back in the afternoon, when the kids are home, the dogs are barking, they got to have help with homework, I'm not winning. So whenever I realized that pattern, was like, the mornings are good, the evenings or afternoons are not so good. Then I was like, okay, let's work that into my trading plan. Another thing that I like is whenever you have a trading plan and trading journal, you know, that work simultaneously together, right? I think that that's also something that has helped me. Also, because I do have ADHD, and I know that focusing and sitting down and doing something for me can sometimes be challenging. So having these little tools and knowing what I need also helps me. And I think that also sometimes people don't realize that we can have biases that we don't see. For example, if you win 6 trades in a row, then you're like, oh, I'm definitely going to win this other one. So now you're overconfident, right? So that also goes into, maybe you write that in your journal. Oh, I was overconfident. I thought I was going to do this. And then that lets you see, okay, well, this is the bias that I have. So kind of seeing what is working and what is not working, your patterns, your biases. You can also see, hey, I see that, just like I said, with the timing thing, you can see not only with the timing, morning is best, maybe evening isn't for me. You might also say, hey, Wednesdays are the best days for me to trade. I just see that maybe coming off of Monday, it's too busy, right? So just all of that self-reflection type of stuff. And then I also think that whenever you have a journal, especially if it's dated and you're very consistent and you work up into that, then you have that discipline, you have that accountability, and when you have that and you can look back, like, for example, I love looking at my journal and seeing trades from when I first started in 2020, right? I'm a big advocate of having notebooks, journals, all of that stuff so that you can go back and see your progress so that maybe, you know, tomorrow you have six losing trades in a row. You can be like, okay, let me go back. Let me reevaluate. Let me see what was working. You know, that goes back into back testing as well. I like to preach back testing, and a journal is almost imperative whenever you're back testing things, right? So that's why I like journaling. That's why I like to encourage it, right? See what emotions we have as well. And you also need to start with, you know, something simple, I guess I want to say. And then at that point, you can see maybe what you need to have, because not only do I have my emotions in there, but I also have like what was the market conditions? It took me a while to realize that something that I like to have in my journal was, I mean, in my trading journal was maybe, what am I going to improve on next time? And then I had to even get specific, like, what am I going to improve on as far as if it's, you know, a volatile stock, or what am I going to improve on if it's more of a bull market right now? So I do think that having a trading journal is very important, but also I don't want a lot of people to do what I did. Is I didn't start journaling at first because I didn't know how to. I didn't know what I needed to put. I didn't know if I needed to. I didn't know, you know, those sort of things. So yeah, ask questions, you know, you can Google it or those sort of things, but making sure you just start writing as soon as you're, you know, done with your trading day, then that'll get you onto a path of seeing what you might want to record as far as in your journal for you personally, because it does need to adapt. Every trader is different. So every person and every trader's trading journal should be different and reflect that.
All right. Solid, solid. Appreciate that. I know you mentioned the word back testing a few times and looking back through your journal and reflecting. And I was going to ask you a question about back testing, but I think I want to put it on the shelf, because I know we got a live webinar coming up with you and Bullish Institute, where you're actually going to be teaching folks about back testing. So I think that they need to go on over and check us out on Eventbrite, Bullish Institute, and register for your dynamic webinar that's coming up. Because I know you're going to go in depth, and, you know, I feel like, you know, the game sometimes, Kayla, you know how I am. Sometimes yes. The game is to be sold and not told. Sometimes the game is to be sold and not told. So everyone who of our loyal listeners, tap in. We're going to offer you a discount, though, for listening to the show. Bullish VIP. Bullish, B-U-L-L-I-S-H, VIP. You'll get a discount. Tickets aren't free. Kayla's not free. Her content is life-changing. All right. But we'll hook you up. If you heard us on the podcast, put Bullish VIP. Go over to Eventbrite. Look us up. You'll see that's our next webinar. We're going to be doing it live with Kayla D. She'll be back testing. All right. So we're going to do real quick. Take a pause for the cause. Go hear from some of our sponsors who help make this show possible. Without their financial benevolence, we couldn't be here. Because my time, Parrish's time, Kayla's time, no one's time is free. Content is free. We got to pay for this stuff, so we got to go to commercial break. But we will be right back. Please stay tuned. We'll be back by maybe 2 minutes, if that. You're listening to the Bullish Picks Podcast with your main man, 100 Grant, Ken Blake Sorrell, with the one and only Miss Kayla G. Kayla's Corner, Kayla's Kitchen. We're going to come back and see what else Kayla got cooking up in her kitchen. Stick with us. We'll be right back. The Bullish Picks Podcast would like to thank Mr. Coleman Austin with Legal Shield. He can be reached at 313-218-1527. That's 313-218-1527. Big thanks to Mr. Coleman Austin, one of our top sponsors with Legal Shield. Great meals start with Mount Sinai olive oil. Mount Sinai olive oil is first cold pressed with no added preservatives, which gives it a rich and delicious flavor. No matter what's for dinner, Mount Sinai olive oil is here with the delicious pure oil to pair it with. Shop online at MountSinaiOliveOil.com.